1-0. We are going to play a music song right now. Here we go. Show. And that would be today, September 15th. And I'm trying to get these levels set here. How are you doing there, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good, Fred.
So what have you been doing all week?
Well, I talked to a gentleman yesterday or the day before about some of your products, and I faxed him over to you. Actually, sent him over. Evidently, you got it, so you've been talking to him.
Oh, that's good, yeah. We had some people inquiring about a self-help system.
Yeah.
You ever used one of those?
No, never did.
Are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not.
Well, they're pretty interesting. It doesn't work like a projector system does. It's completely different.
Right.
And what it does is that it consists of an irradiator and a megorb and a plastic plate. Goes underneath it, and then it has a power supply, a Tesla field generator that puts a field up on the irradiator.
Huh.
And then you put a pyramid over your bed, and you get into that pyramid, and in the pyramid over your bed will have a capstone over the top of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the capstone is built into the pyramid, and on top of that it has the regular orb. And up there is a crystal above it, and it has usually a red or green or both lasers going into it. Usually on a timer, so when it gets dark, the lasers go on. So what you do is you take, and it has to do with nature spirit, so you have to get a couple of local stones from the neighborhood, right? And you stick them on the in the megorb, in one of the chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get two, we use 3 or 4 inch long points, crystal points, like miniature master crystals. And we put those in there with the bottom, with the local stone, which causes a mixing operation of the higher quartz frequencies to the lower local frequencies. That way you get cooperation when it goes into the transmit mode of all the local energy fields, birds, you know, nature spirits, anything that happens to be in the Anything that happens to be in the neighborhood. Interesting here. I gotta adjust something here. I got a vent. I hung up an airplane today, and it's going crazy up here with this vent. I gotta adjust the vent a little bit. So, I can. Hopefully that did it. Just to turn the air conditioning on, because it's a little hot in here today. And so anyway, that thing, I'm going to turn this air off in here. I'm not going to probably adjust this vent. There we go. This thing has a lot of force. Mm-hmm. I want it to knock everything off the ceiling. So anyway, once the nature spirits are all tuned in to the unit, what happens is you turn on the power supply, which sends out a scalar wave field.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you do is you put, if you want, like pictures,
yeah,
put pictures in there, and you'll dream about them. You can put lecture tapes in there, you know, like if you go to a lecture or a seminar or something.
Right.
Got tapes, you put them in the Megorb chambers, and what'll happen is you'll dream about that. In your dreams. And the way that part of it works is that it radionically quantumly
right.
picks up on the energy. And when it picks up on the energy, it's a certain frequency that's mm-hmm. transmitted over to you. And your body then will receive that frequency. Now,
yeah.
when you first go to sleep at night, the first 2 hours of sleep is a detox sleep. It's not what's called rapid eye movement sleep. It's the
right.
detoxing. That's where your body temperature goes up to about 100 degrees, and your body generates interferon, detoxifies, and does all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the system doesn't do anything for that other than sleeping in the pyramid keeps you from getting affected by radio frequency waves of any mm-hmm. type or harassment waves by stopping that jumping sensation that you get when you get subjected to that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And then after you've been asleep for a couple hours, your body goes to the REM sleep, which is the astral body. And when you go into your astral body, that's when that information starts to download from that irradiator.
Yeah.
And that's when the fun begins. I'm surprised you don't have one of those systems back there.
No.
It's also good to have a master crystal with that system because what it will do is it will store up all the experiences. You don't have to have a master crystal with a self-help
right.
system, but you need some sort of a point nearby that can store the energy and then later on download that into your master crystal when you end up getting it. As far as the storing and downloading, it's pretty much automatic. Sometimes when we used to do seminars, we would teach people how to program a master crystal. And we would have them lie in front of an irradiator and put a. Your camera on?
No, I don't have my camera on, Fred. For some odd reason, it's not working. So I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, more downtime than any 10 people that I know.
That's true.
And I bet the biggest problem is the operator problem. What do you think?
Could be.
Anyway, this is the crystal I'm showing the viewers that we use in the self-help system.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you can't see it, though, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so your computer is on, then.
My computer's on. I can't see. I can't talk to you from the other end. I'm talking
telephone.
But I can see you very plainly.
Okay, so what happens is when you're programming your master crystal, you lay down and you put the... You put this on, you lay flat, and this will sit on your bridge of your nose like that.
Okay.
You know what it is on me?
Right.
Okay. And then when you close your eyes and clear your head of thought, and you concentrate on the master crystal, and it starts to load up with energy. And this is a lead crystal. You can buy these pretty much in any bookstore. Or a New Age shop, and they're like about $3 or $4. Has a flat bottom, designed to be a paperweight primarily, but we didn't use it for that. because they'll absorb. Most people have a lot of lead in their body, and this will act as a natural resonant crystal for those people, which included myself. And so what happens is it starts a feedback procedure. And once the master crystal or the crystal that you're, you know, usually that would be across the room, we physically place. And we have, you know, we'd have 30 people in a seminar or more, and they'd all program the same master crystal, because the master crystal can handle all the programs you can put in it. It's got a lot more memory than a computer. You know what I mean? So what happens is when the programming is done, this crystal will roll right off your nose.
Okay.
It just rolls off, and then you're done. In some cases, it'll pop off, you know.
Okay.
But people that are really psychically tuned have it pop off. Like
right.
Point. It's weird. It goes, and it makes a snapping sound when it leaves. The person doesn't feel it when it's on their nose like that.
Okay.
Because it'll go snap, and then it'll come off. But they don't feel like a firecracker went off on their nose to make it go. It's like a ball lightning almost.
Interesting.
And we had a lady over in Switzerland who was really psychically charged, had the thing pop off, and it went 30 feet across the room.
Wow.
Measured it. Was like 33 feet.
Wow.
That thing really flew. It went snap. And there goes this thing, that crystal just hauling across the room.
Right.
So she can really program a crystal. And it was her first time with any of our equipment. She'd never even seen it before. She'd heard of it, obviously. She would have been to the seminar, but she never had.
I'll certainly have to do that. I'll go get a crystal tomorrow and see what happens. But I think mine's already programmed.
Well, it all depends. This is for different programming. You know, for example, pictures. You could take pictures. You can look at the picture and stick them in your radiator, program those.
Okay.
All that kind of stuff you can do. Huh. It's really a lot of, it's a fun system. It really is. It's an educational, and some people use it for astral projection, and, you know, just a lot of little, it's not like a hard-hitting, system that we use for, you know, with standalones and all of that, the quantum
beings.
Not that at all. It's completely different. Matter of fact, I always recommend that people put it in a room away from a quantum system, because the quantum system works on another frequency, and the two don't really interfere with each other. It's just better to have a clean energy on each room for each thing that you're doing. That's what we do here. We have rooms set up anyway. So that's what these things do, and they're pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. That's
so cool. Anyhow, what's been happening with you? It's exciting. Give me some excitement.
Well, exciting. I made a new friend. You talked to him last week, Michael, and he's really terrific. He had some information for you on your healing machine. He knows what's going on with it. He's extremely psychic and very, very hooked up, and he wanted to talk to you about it. And I said, well, I'll give you his phone number, but I just wanted to be sure I could do that and let him talk to you.
Yeah. That would be good.
Okay, because he knows a lot of stuff like you talked about last week, and he's very hooked into your healing machine. Very, very hooked up into it.
Oh, good.
So I'll have him call you.
Cool.
Yeah. How's everything with you?
Oh, good. Been busy around here.
Has it been hot out there?
Yeah, but not real hot. Not real hot.
Yeah, we're just about into the 40s at nighttime here.
Really?
Yeah, it's been 50 degrees today, 40 degrees tonight, and maybe 70 tomorrow. We're not sure yet. We'll have to see what the weather is tonight.
So are you driving your? Are you driving?
I would love to. It's just the weather's been so crappy. It's been raining all week, so.
Oh, that's right. You still got that tropic storm Riki come up through there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And but other than that, it'll be really, it's really cool. I mean, the car is really wonderful. I just, it's making more noise than ever. I think
good
the engine
bad.
Just had it to break in, and the pipes, the side pipes had to break in, and man, it's really great.
Well, you want it to make more noise then?
Well, it just creates a lot of noise. My brother has been driving it lately, and he really loves it.
So that's pretty good.
Had a lot of fun with the car. Hello?
Somebody on the phone there.
Yeah. Hello?
Well, Steve,
how are you doing?
Oh, who's this?
Hi, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Calling from Boston.
Can you speak
Boston
up, Paul?
Guy,
where,
yeah?
We can't just about hear you.
I can hear him okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't. I can barely hear you too. I'm practically yelling into the phone.
Okay, all right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you
yes.
fine. So
well, since you're talking about the irradiator, I'd like to tell you a quick story about the irradiator.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before I do that, though, let me tell you what I have. I have an irradiator, have
right.
a receptor,
right.
have a projector necklace, have a standalone projector, have a flamethrower, which is blue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's see, and... Devastar for the house.
Yeah.
And two headgear pyramids.
Cool. How big is your house, roughly, with that Devastar?
2,000 square feet.
Okay, so you get well protected with those. With that and the flamethrower, you got good protection.
Yeah, we feel that. My wife and I feel that it does a really good job.
Yeah, I could feel it.
So let me tell you, I first got the irradiator back in 2007.
Okay.
Actually, I've been following you since the early 90s when you first made an appearance in New York at the New York Expos.
Yeah, we'll be back
and
there this year.
I went to one of your lectures, and you spoke all about the receptors.
Right.
So I've had receptors since early 90s. And the one I have now is a solid silver with a gold bridge.
Oh, really? Two-tone. That's nice. Dual-tone, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And it's worked great. I've had other ones throughout the years, too, but unfortunately, when I was younger, didn't take care of things, so some of them got a little beat up. But the solid silver one with the gold bridge has lasted since 1995, I believe.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So I've always been aware of your tools. So I finally bought the irradiator in 2007, and when we first got it, I had my wife had no idea how it worked or what it was. I didn't really explain much about it to her, other than I was getting it. She had worn the receptor,
yeah,
and she liked it. And I said, "Well, we need to go up to the next level and get an irradiator," but I didn't explain anything about it to her.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
It came one day, and so. I had every intention of putting it in the bedroom because even though we don't have a the sleeping pyramid, I still wanted to put it in the bedroom to, you know, program or see how it felt while we were sleeping.
Right.
So my wife went to sleep before I did. And when she went to sleep, before she went to sleep, I put the irradiator in the bedroom. And she went to sleep. But after about, I think it was about 15 or 20 minutes, she got up and said, "I can't sleep. The energy is too much in the room."
Yeah.
And she asked me to remove the irradiator, which I said,
yeah.
Okay. But I thought, okay, well, this is psychosomatic. I think you're just reacting to seeing something new in here.
Yeah.
And so I said to myself that once she goes to sleep, I'm going to move it back into the bedroom.
Right.
So after I think about an hour and a half went by and she was sound asleep, I moved the irradiator back into the bedroom.
Right.
Because I had every intention of myself going to sleep with the irradiator in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So I moved it in and I wasn't ready to sleep yet, so I just left it in there. And then about, I would say, less than a half hour of me moving it back into the bedroom, she got up.
Yeah.
And she was upset.
You were deep. deep crap then.
And
huh?
I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I asked you to move the radiator out. And I said, well, what happened? And she proceeded to tell me that she had this dream, or what she thought was a dream, where she saw the radiator, and the radiator started speaking to her. And and she asked she had a conversation with the radiator. She said she was like in that twilight type of feeling where you're between sleep and wakefulness.
Yeah.
And she had an actual conversation with the radiator, and one of the things she asked the radiator was, show me what you can do. And she saw the radiator, and she saw the scalar waves coming out of it, as you always described.
Yeah, and she'd never seen the drawings
and
or pictures
before. And she saw it from different angles. She saw it from a top view, and she saw that the scalar waves went for miles, extended for miles from our house. And she saw the energy patterns, and she had an actual conversation with it. She asked it some questions. It answered her questions. She had a problem with her wrist that she was concerned about. She had a cyst in her wrist, and she asked the radiator if it could help her heal the wrist. And the radiator said, yes, no problem. Don't worry about it. And she had this little conversation going on with it, and then she woke up, and she had every intention of coming to tell me about it as, you know, I had this incredible dream thinking that I had moved the radiator out of the room. Then when she woke up, she saw it right there. What I found amazing was that she knew nothing about it, and she perfectly described the scalar waves, Fred, as you always have. And to me, that was confirmation that it really works.
Wow.
And so her first question was, do you think that there was an alien presence or entity talking to her through the radiator? And I said, no, I think she was actually talking to her own subconscious or higher consciousness or the collective unconscious, which she was able to access through the radiator.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, two things. She probably did a little of that, but then that collective subconscious probably also hooked up with a Pleiadian. And she was probably speaking to one of the Pleiadians. And you know, they won't identify themselves. They don't like to give out their names or anything, so that's probably what, because that was given to me by Semyasi in 1977, that design for that. We're out there near Roswell, actually, where that happened, when she came and gave me the whole design of it. And then I built the first one in Lake Tahoe, California, later on that year. But probably one of the Pleiadians. They are very close to these devices. They are attracted to them, like the Firestar, which is a little bit different than the radiator because it's like two of them crossed each other, has a tendency to attract them a lot. Everybody that's ever had a Firestar has had a Pleiadian experience up, you know, up very close, nearby. And so I think it was probably Pleiadian, and there's probably her subconscious or whatever, you know, talking to it. But, I mean, that sounds like a very real exchange. That's real interesting. I mean, I've never heard one like that before. I've heard of some other types, but that sounds pretty familiar, you know, the way those things work. I'd love to see the drawings.
Yeah, well, to me, it was confirmation.
What the energy fields look like to her.
She knew nothing about it. I didn't describe how it works. She didn't know anything about scalar waves.
Yeah, no, that's great.
She even drew a picture of it for me. And I'm like, wow, those are scalar waves. And it was amazing. It's just confirmation.
Were they trapezoid
that,
kind of waves?
Yeah, it's like like you always described. It's those, it looks like sine waves that are crossing each other.
Yeah, but they have points instead
of curves.
But
she saw it from different angles. And she saw it even from a bird's eye view of the house and how far the scalar waves projected from the house, and she said it went miles.
They do.
Which was amazing.
When Lawrence Kennedy tested the first one up at Lake Tahoe, because he's a dowser, he was a Uri Geller type of guy, and used to bend metal and teach classes in it and do all the stopwatches, all the stuff that him and Yuri Geller knew each other. They kind of competed, actually. But he took his dowsing meter wand out, and we put it on his front porch and aimed it out to a forest across the street. And we noticed that behind the irradiator, there wasn't a whole lot going on, but in front of it, the beam spread out probably at 20 degrees or so. As he kept going further and further into the forest, and he never reached an end. Luckily, it was a flat forest. He probably went in a half a mile. But he could reach the edge of it. If he went to one side or the other, he could reach the edge. But as he got further and further, the beam just got wider and wider. And it didn't lower any intensity. In other words, you'd think that it would be diluted somewhat because it spread out like that. But it's not. It doesn't dilute. It just stays the same. If it had been diluted, his pendulum, which was quite heavy, would have not gone up in the air as far as it did. It would have started to drop, you know, but it never dropped. It stayed up there all the time. It's real interesting. Yeah, even though we've had that since 77, I mean, when you put four of them together, you got a quad system, you put seven of them together, you got a system three. We still sell them, and people buy them, and they sell a lot. We just sold a bunch over to Europe the other day, about 3 weeks ago, whole quad system. And people use them.
We love it. I mean, we've been using it now for 4 years. We do program it. We do the envelopes in the chamber.
Right.
And we do it with the, you know, the new moon, full moon cycle.
Right.
And we definitely see results.
Yeah. And the closer you can change
the point where we love it. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a master crystal yet?
No, that's one thing that we have a whole list of things, but yeah, Master Crystal is one of our next things we want to get.
And probably you have a star orb. You might want to get a star orb. It's a lot less expensive than an Omnion, and work that star orb behind the back of the irradiator, and during a full moon, have the star orb directly behind the center of it, and then when the new moon comes, move it up out of the way. And that'll even increase it more. If you just put it right exactly, you know, 50% of the middle of it, behind it, ground it out. And we have that. We have the Omnion that I use on the quad system that we have here, which is now down on the master crystal because it is the full moon, you know, as of the 13th, I think it was.
Right, yeah, I'm aware of that. I've seen the pictures of that, and I have your book.
Yeah.
It just
fine-tunes it more.
I'm aware of that.
I mean, it'll work regardless. There's just stuff. What we find is that the more you fool around with it and fine-tune it, the more wicked it gets. That's the best way to describe it. It gets really scary after a while in a great way, you know?
Yeah. Now, if you'll allow me, I have a bunch of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Until you kick me off here, but...
We
also have a flamethrower.
3 minutes, so... That's what our show is for. You know, people call me up during the week, and I'm working. You know, I got to work around here, and I don't have time for questions. But this is your time. It's your show. Go ahead.
All right.
We'll take every question.
Okay. Well, we also have a flamethrower, which we absolutely love.
Yeah,
the blue one. Now, the question I have about the flamethrower is that can you program it like an irradiator, or is it simply just passive?
Yeah, Steve can answer that.
I use my flamethrowers. I have a black one and a white one, and it programs itself, actually. I haven't had any trouble with it at all. I put it up in the room. When I want to work with somebody, I take it off the wall and put it near their feet. But it programs itself pretty much. I presume my mind is actually helping, but the flamethrower really is very, very powerful. I've seen saucers on the other side. I've seen Pleiadians. I've seen Andromedans. I've seen everybody with the flamethrower. It's really incredible. They're both very, very powerful tools. So I use them all the time. And I don't program it myself. It just, they seem to program them all by themselves. I haven't had any trouble with it at all. Now, I've got a master crystal under the table. It's about a, I think about a 70 or 80 pound master crystal. And the master crystal fires energy into the body. In other words, if it needs a color in the body, if it needs a chakra to be more powerful or to center it or to balance it, it will fire that color chakra, or the stone will actually fire the chakra into the, or not the chakra, but the color, the ray, into the body. It's really incredible. So I think they're all working together, to be honest with you. I don't even touch them other than to move them closer to the body. Now, I've seen other entities from other worlds on the other side of the flamethrower, which I've seen many, many times with flying saucers also. So it's really powerful. They're really, really powerful. I just let it go to town. It's always changing.
Well, that's what we're
always
doing right now. My
changing.
Wife really loves it. She's much more sensitive to energy than I am, and she really loves it. Actually, she'll move it from room to room as she feels, you know, driven to do it. But a lot of times we keep it in the living room next to the radiator, and and she thinks that they work in tandem. It's hard to describe. Now, I know, Fred, you just said a few minutes ago that you like to separate the devices, but we find that we've set it up to where the standalone projector, the radiator, and the flamethrower are in the same room, the living room, and we have the Diva Star up on the second floor. But we find that it's incredible. We think that they actually work kind of in tandem. Maybe that's just my imagination, but the feeling we get being in the house with those there, with those where they are, is incredible. But let me ask this question about healing with the flamethrowers.
Yes.
Steve, you say
Steve,
you heal with them now.
With, yeah.
Do you point the flamethrower at the person being healed, or do you point it away from them so it kind of sucks the negativity out of them and then projects it out?
Yes. Yes.
But
you point it away from them. Okay.
I take the flamethrower and point it towards their feet. I usually use the black one to point it to their feet. The white one just works automatically. I don't know the difference between the two, but the black one works with the feet, and it really clears the body out. It really does a beautiful job.
Because I was imagining...
I used to use the flat one, and we'd point it towards the feet. But you could put it the other direction, too. You could use it either way. But if you're going to go the other direction, though, I think I'd put it by their head more than their feet. Point it at them at the feet and away from them at the head. That kind of puts them in series with it. You know, that ought to get some action going, you know.
So even as we speak right now, I'm looking at my flamethrower. I love it. But I have these, like, ideas with it, which is if you had somebody lay down and you had four flamethrowers and you pointed them, you know, you pointed them all away but placed them at compass points around a person's body.
Right.
I'm wondering what type of healing effect you would get by placing the body in the center and the four flamethrowers around the body.
Yeah, you get a... Well, first of all, it would create a Faraday shield around them, so they'd be really sensitive to anything positive that you'd put in input-wise. You could use a projector at that point to send energy to them, and there would be no resistance whatsoever.
Right.
But in that case, I would have them all pointing out, not in.
Yeah.
Point them out. That's the way we use them here.
Yeah, that's my intention, would be to point them out.
Yeah, that's the way we use them here. That's the way I used them in Laguna when I was there. And that's the way I set them up in people's houses when I set them up, is out. And I have the red one towards the north, the black one towards the south, the blue one towards the sometimes the east, and the green one towards the west, or I'll switch them around, those two. But I always have the red one north and the black one south. The other two can alternate, you know, east or west.
Right.
And I find that the red and the black are such abrupt colors that they, and the red being 650 nanometer range and the black being something way beyond that, that that's the proper way to go with them, you know.
Now, my ultimate goal, I do have an ultimate goal.
Yeah.
My ultimate goal with the flamethrower is to actually get eight of them and arrange them at the compass points and have all eight of them in the house. I think not only would it affect the house, but I think it would affect the whole neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Or even the whole region
if I had eight of them. Yeah, you'd get the neighborhood first, and then the neighborhood would react to it, and then it would spread from there. You'll have people moving out, moving in. We saw that a lot in Laguna, you know. Once we pulled the system down and moved it out here, it went back to a more of a normal neighborhood. But when we were there, it definitely wasn't normal. All kinds of weird stuff was going on all the time, you know.
Yeah, the flamethrowers are incredible. But this is the other idea I had with the flamethrower, and I think you mentioned it, Fred, is that I had an idea to attach a Diva Star behind it, actually physically behind the flamethrower, and then, of course, ground out the Diva Star.
Yeah, no, I've done that, and it works very well. That makes it a...
Yeah, I think that's my next step.
Yeah,
for some reason,
like
I'm really attracted
dog,
to that idea.
Yeah, just get another Diva Star so you have two of them so you can play with them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. For some reason, that's that image and idea has been sticking with me, so I think that'll be the next thing I do.
Well, I did it with a Star Orb. You know, I've never done it with a Diva Star, but I did it with a Star Orb, and it makes them pretty wicked. You know, I can say that.
Yeah.
They're not bad. I mean, they're pretty bad already, but I mean, they get wicked with that, because now it doesn't have to do, it doesn't process, so it starts to transmit more. Otherwise, it's transmitting, and then it's receiving, and then it's processing, because it's not grounded, so it has to process all that. You put a grounded element behind it, it's going to cause the processing power to be enhanced a lot, so that it won't have to do the negative because it's getting done, so it'll go more positive. It'll switch over like an AND gate in a semiconductor circuit, you know? It'll be pretty cool that
Yeah,
way.
I think that's going to be great. I'm definitely going to do that, and then I'll report back to you in a couple months to see if we feel any different, but I think it's going to be some noticeable differences.
Are you in
Let me just tell you about the our experiences with the projector.
Okay.
We have a necklace projector and a standalone projector, and actually my wife and I share it. When she's wearing it, I wear the receptor, and then when I wear the projector, she wears the receptor, because we're aware of that, the whole idea of cycling through, because you need to recharge yourself with the receptor.
Right.
But we found that, well, especially my wife, she wears the projector necklace more often now because it responds quickly to her.
Yeah, females really do well with those. You know, they're more creative, and they're more they don't need as much grounding as men do to prove a point. They kind of go with the flow. So females typically do work well with the projector. Yeah.
Yeah, she's becoming very adept at it. It's incredible. But we have noticed that quantum entanglement is very amazing,
yeah.
And it's very real. Because I mean, they don't. For us, we only have one. I mean, we'd like to see what would happen if we get three more, and eventually we'll get three more. But it's amazing to see quantum entanglement in action, because for us, we've seen it as subtle. Because depending on what you're asking for, it could involve multiple people or multiple situations, and all of those situations or people have to line up in alignment with what you're asking for. And
right,
sometimes
but
that doesn't
you the
happen
to
instantaneously.
See the alignment. That's the tunneling process.
Yeah.
Yeah. That to me is the amazing.
We have noticed. It's amazing. It's very subtle, and it takes a little time. So I don't know if some, you know, if people have expectations that it's instantaneous, it's not. Sometimes you have to be patient. But it's incredible to see how it works, and it, and I watched it with my wife, especially, and myself. The entire concept of quantum entanglement is so amazing. But you have to give it time because I think the universe is complex. And sometimes the things we ask for may not be right for us. But for somehow you learn how to ask for the right things.
Exactly.
And it's
and you learn how
and
to...
the thing about having all these devices, these tools in our house, is that it raises your consciousness to the point where you're motivated to clean things out in your life, negative
exactly.
thinking, negative habits. And from what my wife says, what she says often is that you have to clean your stuff first before these devices can actually work to their full potential.
That's true, I agree.
I mean, you can't be a negative person, paranoid, angry, and expect all this stuff to work. But it motivates you to work on your life first. That's what we notice. It motivates you to clean up your life and then, you know, get straight with your intentions. And then once you do that, it's amazing how everything else in your life just clicks.
I agree.
So our next step is, if this works great with one standalone projector and a necklace projector, then we're definitely moving on to getting more projectors as well, because we think that that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, Steve, you started out with one and went to four too, didn't you?
Yeah, I started out with one, then I went to four, and the four are very interesting. I can give you an idea what happens. The pyramids that are on the projectors all light up, every one of them. And then the beam of light comes through the diamond or whatever stone it is, and you'll have a ball of light, or I do, right over my massage table. And that stays there constantly. And it's really amazing to use. I use that with my clients, and it just invigorates. It does an awful lot of good stuff. Awful lot of good stuff. And that's not all. It's just whatever you want. I mean, you just ask for it, and it will work. But like you say, your mind's got to be very clear. Very
yeah.
clear.
But now, let me ask you this, Fred. You're
yeah,
coming
go ahead.
To New York in October. Are you going to fly from California to New York?
Yeah, we're coming out in October. They're already putting the information up on the show already.
Now, if you went through the full body scanner and you had a receptor on, do you think it would shield you from the X-rays of the new full body scanners?
Yeah, it does. We've already been through them. So I usually take it off because, you know, it's never really picked up electromagnetically anything, but I've not normally taken it off. But yeah, it'll handle that radiation easy. They'll still get a scan though, but I mean, it won't bother you any. Your body will process it.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a frequent traveler and you decided to use the full body scanners, then your best protection would be a receptor.
Yeah, I think so. What do you think, Steve? I don't know if Steve's there. Are you there, Steve?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you think? Would you use the projector or the receptor?
I think it'll protect you at any range.
Yeah, well, which one would you choose if you had to choose one?
If I had the color you're talking about?
No, which device, the projector or receptor for radiation?
I think I would use the Ankh.
Yeah, that's a receptor, yeah.
Projector, I use, my platinum projector usually protects me pretty well.
Yeah, well, that's platinum, it'll reflect. You can try it, wear it in there, and see what happens. Maybe if it doesn't set it off, they don't complain about it, just leave it on. But there depends on who the TSA people are. Some of them really like our stuff, and some of them kind of don't like it at all, you know. So depends on who you're dealing with, primarily. We've had some pretty good luck with the TSA people that we've been dealing with lately going through their security. We did a bunch of it lately, so.
I think you told us last week that very interesting about a woman who was wearing a necklace, and somebody was attacking her, and it shot off a green ray.
Yeah.
And actually protected her. So we don't know the limits.
Yeah,
we don't know
pretty
the
cool.
limits of what these things will do.
Yeah, that you have to be, if your body's really tuned into it and it's really freaking out, then it will release energy in very concentrated form that we've seen.
Yeah. It's really amazing when you think about it. I know
question.
That I have a lot of luck with my my equipment in my room. I've got 4 projectors. I wear my projector most of the time. I've got my my crystal, my master crystal, under the table. I've got my 2 flamethrowers on top of the ceiling, facing down. And it's powerful in there, and I have my 4 projectors, and it really does a fabulous job. Really does a fabulous job. I don't know where I'd be without them. I mean, it's changed my life. The projector is very interesting in the fact that you become the projector, and the projector becomes you. It's really amazing how that works. But you have to wear it. You have to wear it and use it. And that really does work. Is that young fella still there?
I don't know. He was. Maybe he got cut out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think we answered all his questions, hopefully.
Yeah.
We got about 4 minutes left, and we got to get off the air.
The projectors that I have... they work well, Fred. They're still working very well.
Well, you noticed a big jump from the 1 to the 4, right?
Oh, my goodness. Like, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm using 5 now. I've got 1 here on my desk. Sitting right over here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 1 there. Then there's 1 over there in that corner.
Right. Yeah.
And there's 1 way over there in that corner. Then there's 1 in that corner and 1 in the other room, which is a bathroom behind the office, and there's 1 in there, which makes it a perfect square. Then I got the 1 out here. And I think it's a little bit cooler to have 5 than 4, but you have to have the right place for the 5th one to access it. Yeah. Having 4 of them on the wall, I can't access one of them like I can with 1 here.
Right.
So,
mine are stationary, and
mine are too, except 1.
Yeah.
The ones on the wall are fixed, but the 1 in my desk isn't. You know.
Right.
I added it recently. Well, actually, I added it first, and then I had 3 others up on the wall, and I didn't have 1 behind it. I was using this one, but it wasn't in the energy field that I wanted, so I added 1 more behind over there in the back. So that the 4 of them are pretty much equally spaced and the same height, and they're all tuned towards the center frequency of, basically they're pointing at the 1 that's on the desk here, you know.
Yeah, my projectors will fire without a doubt. I've had a client tell me that my projectors have reached 4 or 5 miles from the expressway. He can actually feel the energy of the projectors from the expressway, which is about 4 or 5 miles away. And I know that in height, it's at least 2 miles high. So,
oh, yeah.
It's really interesting stuff.
No, it is. And it's hard to describe. Each person has a different experience with them. I mean,
yes.
Completely. There are common things in the fact that things happen, but the way they happen, everybody's different. That's what I've seen. And it was interesting, he's pretty much, I guess his name was Paul, he's done quite a bit with the flamethrowers. A lot of people just set them up and let him go to work, but he's working his, and I think that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I've worked mine a little bit, too, the one that's out in the far end of the house down there. I got to put some more up here. I keep selling them. You know, we build them, and then it takes forever to build one, and then we end up selling it.
Yeah.
I've got some orders coming in
now. I
know
they work.
Yeah. Yeah, we're short-handed on people to build things around here, that's for sure. Well, anyway, we're probably out of time. Let's see what we got here. 554. Now, go ahead and put your phone number out.
Oh, yes. Phone number is 585-746-8321. If you want to find me, I'm at stevebarish.com.
Are you doing emails now?
Yeah, I'm doing emails, and anything I don't understand in terms of your work, I just I ship it over to you.
Yeah. So your email is stevebarish@stevebarish.com.
Stevebarish.com.
So you actually put your name into an internet site.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had Fred Bell. I had fredbell.com, and I think I didn't renew it. I think somebody else got it. But it used to, when you type in fredbell.com, it would go to Paradyne.com.
Hmm.
And I might still have that. I'll have to check it and see. It might be fredbell.net or fredbell.org now. I don't know. But it was fredbell.com at one time.
Yeah.
But now Paradyne.com, P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.com.
Yeah, all my information comes right to my my system. Yeah, everything is right there as soon as I open it up. Really does work well.
All right,
I'm going to try to get this working next week so I can see you and you can see me.
Yeah, let's get that going like that. I'll get Ryan to set it up so we can both go on the air at the same time.
That would be nice.
I could probably figure it out on this end once I know you have the show. I know how to do that, actually. I think I just put your show on. I open up a second window on Ustream, and then ask it to see your show, you know, and you could open all the windows you want. That'd be an easy way to go with it.
Yeah.
Follow me?
I'll have my friend here next week. Hopefully he'll...
yeah, well, the way you do it is, I may be wrong, is you open up the window where you see yourself, right?
Right.
Then what you do is you push shift key, where it says shift down, hold that down, and open up another Internet Explorer, because by holding shift down, it won't cancel the one you got. It leaves it open. It opens the second window. You follow me?
Yeah.
So once you get that second window open, just go to Ustream and type in the name of your show, or the name of my show, rather.
Right.
And I type in the name of your show. You got to name it, and then we can see each other.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What do you now? It takes a minute. What do you call your show anyway?
It's not. I don't. The only show I have is the one that we're working with. I don't have a show of my own yet.
But you're not transmitting yet, is what you're saying.
No. I'm just transmitting with you.
Do you have a built-in camera on your setup or not?
I have a built-in camera on the other set here. I'm watching you through a big screen. So I think I might have to use a camera on the big screen here. I'll have to do it from the big screen because the other part of the computer is about 2 feet away, so I'll have to get
the way we do it.
I'll buy one this week.
Yeah, I have a camera here. It's a Logitech camera.
Okay.
It's really, really the high-definition camera. It costs like $100, nothing.
Okay.
You just plug it into your one of your input ports on the side, UCB or whatever connector on the side, and then you load a disk in, and because it'll have the drivers on it, and that's automatic. It'll load up pretty much there. And then when it's done, go back to Ustream and select that camera. And there's a little box right there. It says camera.
Yeah.
Go ahead and select that camera and your microphone, whatever you're using, whether it's internal or external. In this case, the microphone that I'm using is better than the one in the unit, so it's built into the camera, and the camera's got zoom on it and all kinds of stuff. I'm just not doing anything, but I leave it the way it is.
Yeah, I'm going to have Michael here next week, so Michael will help me out with it, and we'll get it all set up.
Yeah, you just call me, and I might be out of town the latter part of next week. I'll let you know on that later.
Okay.
All right, we got to get out of here. This is we're over time. Our number at Paradyne is 1-800-729-2603. we started late, so we ran a couple minutes over. And it's Paradigm.com, and this is Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, brought to you every Thursday, 5 o'clock Pacific Time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.